You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Latino USA. This week, what remains after you say goodbye? Latino USA looks at different departures from saying adios to President Barack Obama and examining his reputation as the, quote, deporter-in-chief to a legendary conga player wrapping up his career. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
Now, President Donald Trump signed an executive order earlier today reviving the Keystone XL pipeline that's been the subject of years of debate. The president also signed a document clearing the way for the government to approve the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. This pipeline led to months of protests when the Standing Rock Sioux tribe came out against construction of the project less than a mile from its reservation.
Here's President Trump as he signed the document in support of the Keystone XL pipeline.
This is with regard to the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, something that's been in dispute, and it's subject to a renegotiation of terms by us. We're going to renegotiate some of the terms, and if they'd like, we'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs, great construction jobs.
The president made similar comments as he signed the document approving the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Michael Kraft joins us now to talk about these pipelines and their role in American energy and the environment. He's an emeritus professor in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay. A new edition of his book, Environmental Policy and Politics, will be published later this year. Michael, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, any surprise that President Trump, so early in his term, signed his support, tried to get the ball rolling again on these two pipelines?
None whatsoever. I'm surprised it wasn't, a day one announcement. I think Donald Trump made it very clear during the campaign that he favored accelerated production, particularly domestic production of fossil fuels. He indicated relatively little, if any, concern for climate change. And those were the concerns that Barack Obama had. And eventually, after a lot of equivocation, turning against the Keystone Pipeline. And so it's not a surprise Donald Trump, who, it's not real clear, but at some points has called climate change a hoax, and other times said he hasn't made up his mind, but it clearly is not a priority for him. So he wants to accelerate use of fossil fuels, as do most members of his party in Congress.
How important are these pipelines to our energy picture and the environment, as part of their direct impact versus the symbols that they've become in this in energy and environment debate?
Yeah, that's tougher to answer because in many ways, whether we have pipelines or not, we're still going to use oil. We're still going to import oil. Canada, the XL pipeline, of course, a Canadian-U.S. pipeline. If we don't have pipelines, we're going to ship that oil by rail, and there are even more risks associated with rail. But I think in many ways, though, the Keystone Pipeline and to a lesser extent the Dakota Access Pipeline have become heavily symbolic issues. So it's not surprising that environmental groups immediately denounced the president, the Sierra Club, the 350.org, which is Bill McKibben's group. They said they will fight the decisions. Fossil fuel companies have been on the side of the pipeline for the same reasons. Both sides have been pretty adamant. Some will recall we had the same battles over the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and eventually we moved away from that. So the outcome is not clear yet. Trump wants to accelerate the approval process, but there may well be lawsuits. There may well be further delays. It's pretty clear, however, we're going to see an acceleration in domestic production of oil and gas, almost certainly, because the Obama administration had slowed that down. So the pipeline is part of a larger picture of accelerated use of fossil fuels.
And we had been seeing accelerating production in the U.S. and Canada, for that matter, of oil that used to be harder to get, oil that used to be beyond our technology to pump out and process. That has been a big game changer, whether you're for or against the use of fossil fuels in our energy outlook, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The reliance on fracturing of shale or fracking has produced not only oil, but a lot of natural gas. And so we have an abundant and cheap supply of energy and natural gas. That's really what has done in coal mining and the use of coal, is that it's no longer competitive. Moreover, wind power has now dropped so much in a number of Midwestern states, including Illinois and Iowa, wind power is now cheaper without subsidies than any other source of fuel, including natural gas, that is, for producing electricity. So, you know, in many ways, we're in the midst of an energy revolution that's going in different directions than I think people would have estimated even 5 years ago. Wind and solar are rapidly gaining market share. But the positive side of fracturing of shale, and of course many people are don't care for it, is that it has greatly increased domestic production of oil, which has meant a steep drop in the importation of oil. So we're closer to that elusive goal that was talked about so much in the 1970s of energy independence of oil. It makes us less dependent on oil from the Middle East and other parts of the world.
Talking to Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor at UW-Green Bay, about energy policy in the United States and the announcement, the signings by Donald Trump of executive orders and memoranda that would advance two controversial pipelines, Keystone XL and the Dakota Access Pipeline. Michael, you've got a piece coming out later this week, I believe, on the wider issue of our energy portfolio, and you see a shift going on. I think that's no surprise to anyone, but you were hopeful about kind of a wider net on our energy supply previous to this. What did you see?
I'm hopeful because increasingly the energy market is going in a direction, I think, that Donald Trump as president and the Congress under the control of the Republican Party are not going to be able to change as much as they think. First of all, of course, we have the Paris Agreement on climate change, and almost all countries in the world have signed it, close to 200. That's going to mean nations are committed to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, which, of course, come from the production of use of fossil fuels. But there's been an enormous change in energy efficiency, vehicle fuel economy. So, as I noted, solar and wind power are becoming much more competitive. Companies as well as governments are eager to move in this direction. So in the larger scheme of things, this I see as a temporary setback. And I think even Republicans and the Trump administration may come to realize that you can create jobs through wind power and solar power as well. Trump mentioned 28,000 jobs will be created. Well, most of those are in construction. Once the pipeline is done, those jobs are gone. But wind power is likely to provide much more continuous employment over time because of the continued maintenance that would be required for wind turbines. So it's too simplistic to say fossil fuels are the way to go. We're about 80% dependent on fossil fuels, and if we care at all about climate change, we simply have to move in a different direction.
Yeah, staying on the jobs issue, do you see, alternative energy, I think, used to be seen, maybe still is seen, as a priority on the left. Do you think that the idea that, hey, maybe there's jobs there would make it more of a bipartisan issue?
I think it would if people actually understood that. In the latest studies, I mentioned them in the editorial that's coming out this week, over time, the employment will increase, economic growth will increase. There have been some fascinating studies by the Brookings Institution at the state level that show that decarbonization, that is moving away from fossil fuels, does not at all inhibit economic growth. But some people are still stuck in the mindset of the 70s and 80s. They assume you can only have economic growth if you rely more and more on fossil fuels. And if you cut back on energy or become more efficient, it hurts the economy. The opposite is the case today because of changing technologies and new efficiencies.
Digging into the pipelines more specifically now, both of these, the Keystone XL, President Obama wouldn't issue a permit there.
Yes.
Dakota Access Pipeline suspended by the Army Corps of Engineers. They said further analysis is needed, looking at alternate routes. What do you see as the next steps now that we've got this new administration that's more favorable to these pipelines?
Well, there'll be a new proposal from Canada, I assume, for either the same or a slightly different Keystone pipeline that will have to go through similar review procedures, which can take a while, particularly if a new environmental impact statement has to be produced. The Dakota Access Pipeline, as you indicated, it was the Army Corps of Engineers, not the White House, that put a halt to it. And what they said is we'd like to give consideration to a different route that's a little bit farther away from the reservation and doesn't pose the risk of a pipeline failure into the river. And so the Army, I'm sure, would be receptive, Army Corps of Engineers, receptive to a new proposal But that would have to go through a review. So I don't think we're going to see a decision in weeks or even months. This could take 6 months to a year for a review. And environmentalists will have their chance to speak up and, of course, to file lawsuits if they believe that the procedure has not been fair or adequate.
We're talking to Michael Kraft from UW-Green Bay about the news that President Trump signed executive orders advancing the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines.
We're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this news? Are you happy that the president is moving forward to have these two pipelines built? Or do you worry about the environmental impacts if the pipelines go forward? Call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our discussion now with Michael Kraft, Public and Environmental Affairs Emeritus Professor at UW-Green Bay. And we're talking about the news that President Trump has signed executive orders that would advance the Keystone XL and the Dakota Access pipelines today.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Do you want either or both of these pipelines to move forward? Do you think they're good for the American economy? Or do you worry about environmental risks outweighing economic benefit? Are you happy President Trump is in support of building these pipelines? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. Dan is with us in Platteville. Dan, hi.
Yes, hello. My question, comment question, I guess it's just kind of a hypothesis, and maybe this might not be as true as I would like to believe. Well, first of all, we're going to be using oil for a while. I mean, it's just something that we're just going to have to embrace. And I was wondering, but if we are able to get these pipelines built and then the oil is flowing through a pipeline, yes, you got to make sure you factor in, is it going to be safe for wildlife, groundwater? But if we can get oil going through pipelines, instead now it's all going through rail or truck traffic, and if it's going through the pipeline, if we take the burden off the rail industry and the truck industry, particularly the rail industry, and allow other products to be moved by rail more, won't that actually in some ways, at least marginally, it kind of improve the environment or improve our dependency on fossil fuels?
Dan, thanks for the call. I get where you're going. Is it more energy efficient to move oil by pipeline than by truck or train? Well, it's safer too, people say.
I think the key thing is it's safer. I mean, pipelines do have leaks occasionally, and opponents usually cite spectacular leaks. But we've had even more rail car disasters, rail cars carrying oil that threaten human life. And we had a major accident in Canada just a few years ago. So I think Dan is correct. If we're going to use oil, and even if we agree we should cut back on the oil we use, it's still got to come from somewhere, better that it's domestic than imported, or better from Canada and the U.S., and if you're going to ship it, maybe a pipeline is better. So then the question is, how do you make sure the pipeline is safe enough that you absolutely minimize the risk of spills, particularly in the water bodies or in a way that may cause a fire that could damage human life? Over time, the longer picture is we ought to cut back on oil, though we will be dependent on oil and natural gas for a very, very long time.
And thanks for the call, Dan. One of the objections to pipelines from environmentalists and others is that they would say it's enabling us to keep depending on fossil fuel in the future. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, sure. I guess it's enabling in some sense, and there's been a particular concern about the kind of oil that would come through the Keystone XL pipeline, Canadian tar sands oil, which is argued to be somewhat worse for climate change. And I absolutely agree. Climate change is, I guess I would differ with President Trump. Climate change is a major, major threat, both environmental threat and a national security threat to the world, and I hope the country doesn't reverse course on climate change. But we're 80% dependent on fossil fuel. We are likely to be 75 to 80% dependent anyway in 10 or 20 years, even with the gains in energy efficiency that I noted. But we need to start moving in that direction. So I'm equally upset that the Trump administration is about to pull back on auto fuel economy standards that Obama set. He met with auto leaders today, and that is certainly on the agenda, and Congress would have to go along. So we need to keep on the track toward energy efficiency, for developing renewable resources. Those produce just as many jobs, just as much economic gain, but at least it begins to put us on a path toward less reliance on fossil fuels.
Back to our callers now with Gary on the line in Boscobel. Gary, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I spent a lot of time in the sand hills of Nebraska in an old farmhouse that I use out there, and that XL pipeline will go within a half a mile of that house. The sand hills of Nebraska are an incredibly fragile landscape, prone to being eroded by wind erosion, and that pipeline will go right over top of the Ogallala Aquifer. And of course, we've all covered the hazards of contamination of these pipelines rupturing. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's in a train and the train crashes and catches on fire or it leaks into the streams. All these hydrocarbons are going to be released into the atmosphere, millions and millions of barrels of them, and it's all going to be based on economic gain. And in the end, all of humanity is going to suffer for this, and the villains are going to be the capitalists who have taken all this money, all this oil, and forced us to consume it and given us very little, if any, choices on how we can live our lives.
Gary, thanks for the call. Michael.
Yeah. Well, the opposition to the Keystone Pipeline in Nebraska and other states close to the route were major factors in Obama's rejection of it. And I think people in those states can still protest and argue that the pipeline ought to take a different route, and obviously urge that extra precautions be taken. I guess in the larger scheme of things, I would prefer that any pipeline not go anywhere near a water body or an aquifer for the risk that Gary describes. I guess I agree with him also. And as I said, in the long term, I think all of us need to be quite attentive to the way we use and particularly waste fossil fuels, whether it's oil or natural gas. Energy efficiency and minimizing use, because eventually burning fossil fuels is the primary factor behind climate change. And climate change is going to be far, far worse for us. Not next year, not in 5 or 10 years, but in 40 or 50 years. And that's something that people need to think much more about.
Gary, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor of Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay, looking at oil and pipelines as President Trump has signed various memoranda and executive orders starting to pave the way for construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, potentially the Dakota Access Pipeline, which had been canceled or on hold in the previous administration. Back to our callers now. Janet is with us in Oconomowoc. Janet, hi.
Hello there. I feel really sad that we don't have a government that's visionary enough to say, yes, you know, our dependence on fossil fuel will have to change because we're going to run out. It's going to be harder and harder to extract. And we should be looking into wind and solar, and we're not. So basically, we're giving away hundreds of thousands of jobs to China because they're pursuing it. I have solar panels, and solar panels from China could beat anything that the U.S. produced. And so eventually, we'll have given all that away.
Janet, thanks for the call. Michael, we've had, you know, arms races and the space race. Is there an alternative energy race going on?
There is, and China's winning it, as Janet said. China's been on this route for at least a decade, and it's a major reason, that country's efforts are a major reason why the prices have plummeted for solar energy. And I think they'll fall a good deal more. But, you know, you don't ship wind turbines around the world because they're too big and heavy, and that's why I emphasize the job creation potential of wind turbines, because they can be made right in the state that's going to use them. You really don't want to ship them that far because of the size and weight, and that could be a way to job creation. And as I noted, the latest studies are telling us that economic growth does not depend on using carbon-based fuels, but decarbonization can result in just as robust a level of economic growth and employment, if not more so, than fossil fuels. Now, nobody's saying, in 5 years, we got to drop all fossil fuels, or at least very few people are saying that. But you got to have a plan, and you've got to be on a path, and that's what I've argued in the editorial. that these issues have become so partisan and polarized in recent years that we have a case here with Donald Trump of, you know, elections do have consequences. And because the parties are so divided on energy and climate change, switching from a Democrat to a Republican gives you a whole new set of energy priorities. If that's not what people want, then they can take whatever action they deem appropriate. And, of course, you can try to persuade conservatives that they really need to rethink the reliance that this country and the world has on fossil fuels and give alternative energy or clean energy technologies a second look. And, of course, there's nuclear power. Many people taking this position say maybe we need to at least keep the nuclear reactors we now have running for a while longer until we get better clean energy sources to complement wind and solar and better battery technology and all of that. And that's the path I want us to be on. I want state and local government, the federal government, private entrepreneurs, utility companies, all to be pushing us in that direction, not to backtrack at this point.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Michael, we've seen this action on pipelines. You mentioned fuel economy standards may be up for a change. What else are you watching for, hoping for, or worrying about?
I'm worried that the Clean Power Plan is going to go away. That the Clean Power Plan was Obama's long-developed EPA regulation that gives states about 15 years to move away from coal-fired electric power plants to natural gas or efficiency or solar or wind. They have a number of options. Every state can devise its own plan. Wisconsin is pretty heavily dependent on coal, and we have not done much with clean power. Trump, presumably, and the Republicans in Congress will do away with the Clean Power Plan. If there's good news there, is that the fuel economy rules and the Clean Power Plan are formal regulations, and you can't, you know, there's no executive order to overturn those. You've got to start all over again with an alternative plan. By most accounts, that takes anywhere from 2 to 4 years, and there will be lawsuits along the way trying to do that.
We'll leave it
so
there.
Some hope.
We'll leave it there for now, Michael. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure. Happy to be here.
That's Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor at UW Green Bay, looking at Donald Trump's announcements about pipelines today and the future of American energy policy.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.